Yeah. Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
I don't know about you guys, but seriously, like the last 2 weeks of not being able to meet because we meet at the school has just been insane. The lack of routine, I found myself last week just kind of walking around the house, and I would just kind of go from room to room, and I'd stop, and I would look, and I'd go, I feel like I should be doing something. And then I would go to another room, and I'd go, I feel like I just needed to set something up. Like I was looking at my house for wires or speakers that I could set up somewhere, and there was just none. So I am glad that you're all back here. Welcome to 2017 at Compass. It is great to see all of you here today. How many of you guys have a New Year's resolution? No, really? That's like a... Is it because most of you have tried it before and it's failed so miserably and it's just, I've given up? I'm done. This is me for the rest of my life. Just get used to it, people. You know, I can understand that. But even if you haven't taken on a resolution, I'm willing to bet that deep down in the back of your mind that you're looking at this year going, I think I could do better. Again, I don't know if you're like me, but for me, every time a new year comes around, it's this kind of, I have this sense of like freedom. Like this exciting, like, oh, things can change. But it's also tied with this like horrible sense of anticipation and feeling overwhelmed. So it's like, you know, the new year comes. And 2016, maybe last year, I threw my dirty socks on the floor every day for 2016. And I never made it in the laundry basket. But 2017, I'm going to put my socks in that basket every day. And like, seriously, for 8 days, I mean, dirty socks in the basket, you know, it's like, it's a clean start. I can do this. But here's what happens. Inevitably, that's the sense, that's what's freeing about it, right? It's so freeing. But then inevitably what happens is this. It's like, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm laying in bed and my socks are on. I don't think I can make the laundry basket. Really, one night in 2017 of dirty socks on the floor is not going to ruin everything, right? One night is going to be okay. So it's so freeing because things can change. Things can be totally different for us this year. You know, this is the year where I can get rid of that extra weight. This is the year that I can really start getting in shape. I can show my abs off at the pool. You know, this is the year I can actually maybe go to the swimming pool. You know, this is the year where I'm going to get out of debt and I'm going to get my finances straight, you know, and I'm going to take care of it. And that is just like that sense of newness gets me really excited. But then the overwhelming part kicks in where it's like, okay, I want to lose all those extra pounds, but like there's all these diet plans and I don't know which one to choose and which one is going to work. And it sounds like so much work. And I really want to get into shape, but like I could pick out of a million workout plans and I don't really have a gym membership. And man, that weight looks really heavy and I don't think I can lift it. And I really like, I can get out of debt, but man, I'm stretched so thin financially that I don't know what can give in order to make any difference in my finances to get out of debt. And so there's just this hope that everything can be different. And then there's this sense of overwhelming, like, I can't do it. It's impossible. Nothing can happen. I think this is all summed up for me in my daughter's closet door. So in the new year, you know, you start cleaning. And my wife, she set our kids on their Christmas break to cleaning their bedrooms and cleaning out their closets. Now, my daughter Trinity's closet, I'm gonna tell like secrets. Trinity, I won't tell on you. This is more on me. So my daughter's closet, maybe over a year ago, it broke. It came off the rails somehow, and I couldn't get it back on the track. And so, this is so embarrassing, but like literally a year, there's a closet door that's been taken out and kind of leaned up against the wall so my daughter can get into her closet. And every time I walk into it, I just feel shame. I just see, I'm like, I'm a bad dad. I'm a bad husband, I'm a bad homeowner. And so Terry had the kids cleaning their closets and they were getting rid of tons of clothes that didn't fit them anymore and it was awesome. And I felt like that I needed to step in and I needed to do my part. So I went into Trinity's bedroom and I looked at that closet door again. And just on first observation, I knew there's no way I can fix this thing. I am going to have to like hire a contractor to come in and he's got to put in all new doors and we're going to have to take these out and not just throw them in the trash. We're going to have to burn them because somehow they're just like contaminated. It's got to start from scratch. We're going to pull up carpet. Like I'm looking at it and that is what it's going to take just at observation because I can't do this thing. It's too much. It's too big. I'm just crazy overwhelmed. But I muscled through that feeling and I was like, before I do that, before I spend the hundreds of dollars on getting a whole new set of closet doors, I'm just going to like, in my amateur way, look at these and see if there's anything I can do. So I get in the closet doors and I just kind of look. And I'm like, well, it's the track has moved here a little bit, and the door's not out here, and it looks like the springy thing in the top of the door isn't working. So maybe if I just adjust this with a screwdriver. I took a screwdriver out, and I adjusted the track, and I scooted it back a little bit towards the edge of the door frame. And then I put the closet into the peg again at the bottom and attached it up there. And like, I'm just saying words for a lot of people right now, but this is, in my mind, it all makes sense. And so I got all that stuff going, and I was like, wait a minute. So I got the screwdriver out, I adjusted this, and I moved this, and it looks like this is going to work. And I put it in, and it still didn't work. So there's this one piece. There's a springy peg at the top of the closet door that had to fit in the track that was broken. So I went to Menards. I spent $2, and I put that piece in. And $2 later, and a couple of, you know, screwdriver screws later, Trinity's closet door is, like, brand new. And I stood there for, like, 5 minutes just going, what's going to happen? Is it gonna work? Is it gonna break? I felt like such a man. Like there was this, seriously, this thing had been there for over a year and I thought it was impossible to fix. I thought I was gonna have to call Kevin to come into my house and like tear it down and rebuild it. And all it took was just a couple of those, you know, screws and then just a $2 piece and it worked. I felt so powerful that I went down into our kitchen to the kitchen drawer that has not worked for 2 years because when you pull it out, it falls all the way out. So you can only pull out a quarter of the way out and then pull out whatever you need. And I pulled that sucker out and I was like, I'm looking at this. And you know what? Stinking screwdriver, couple, thing works like a charm. Like a week into 2017 and like my house, it's 2 big projects down. Here's what I learned though. This is awesome to learn this though, that sometimes a small adjustment is all that you need to fix a big problem. Literally, to the drawer, a screwdriver, that was it, done. Sometimes a small adjustment is all that is required to fix the big problems that we have in life. And what I thought was a huge problem really just required just a small little change. Sometimes a small adjustment is all that we need to make a big change. One of the big changes that people want to think about or look at in New Year's resolutions or coming into 2017 is just evaluating your spiritual life. Especially if you're part of church, if you're a follower of Jesus, even if you're not, you're just kind of drawn to it, you're curious about faith. Maybe you're here because, you know, you thought, I got to get back into church in this new year. That's my resolution. I want to raise my kids the way that I was raised. Maybe you don't believe any of it, but it's just like something that you feel like you should do. Maybe you're thinking about spiritual things and you just want to be a better person in 2017. You want to be more moral. You want to feel like that you're living a better life. Maybe you want to be more spiritually fulfilled. Maybe for you, it's just, I want to know that, I want to feel God. I just want to know that God is real and feel him moving in my life. Or maybe for you, you've known God for a long time and you're just like, I want to know God at the next level. I want to know God more. And I want to take things to the next step. I want to know and I want to understand the Bible better in 2017 because sometimes I read it and I don't even know what it's talking about and I just want to get rid of it. And that's been my 2016, but in 2017, I want to know this. I want to get this. I want my spiritual life to be different in 2017 than it was in 2016. Principle's the same. Sometimes a small adjustment can make a big change in your life. Sometimes all it takes is a small adjustment to see that big change happen in our lives. And so I want to talk to you today about a small adjustment that Jesus made with his disciples and an adjustment that had to be made in their way of thinking. And it speaks to really the power of small changes that can happen in our lives that can have big spiritual impacts for us. So just a little bit of background. You know, Jesus went around teaching. People followed him. He was teaching about the kingdom of God coming and people becoming closer to God and changing their lives. But the Jewish people at the time, they thought that the kingdom of God, the Messiah was going to come and he was going to kick out Rome, the occupier of Israel at the time. And so Jesus's disciples, they thought Jesus was this new king that was coming. And so as they were following him, they saw these crowds begin to be attracted to Jesus's teachings. And they saw that bigger numbers of people were following Jesus wherever he would go. And they would follow Jesus from town to town to hear the next thing that he had to teach. And his disciples are watching this and they're going, yeah, this is right. This is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to get a bigger following. And then you get more people and then you get more people. And we read from the gospel accounts that there are times where Jesus spoke to thousands of people. There are times where Jesus, he was speaking on the side of a sea or a lake. And there were so many people pressing against him. He had to go stand in a boat so that people wouldn't push him into the water because there's just such a crush of people coming to see him. And the disciples watching this, they're like, yes, this is how we do it. You build a crowd, and then you get more people. And the more people you get, the more of a movement you have. And then when you have more people that are becoming a movement, then you have an army. And then when you have an army, then you take over, and you have it all. But what Jesus did with his disciples was a little different. You see, as the crowds begin to grow and people begin to follow more and more and more, rather than calling more people to his cause and building an army, what Jesus did is he kind of ran away from the crowds. Jesus would retreat away from the crowds and the hundreds and the thousands of people over and over again with his disciples, and he would take them away into just quiet spaces. And the disciples are going, Jesus, you're leveraged with all these people. You're not taking advantage of it to raise up your army. What are you doing? But Jesus over and over again would just continue to retreat. In fact, Jesus would do miracles. He would heal a person, and he would tell him, don't tell anybody. Now, that's not what you do if you're wanting to become the king of Israel and take over, but that's what Jesus did. He retreated from the crowds. He told people not to talk about his miracles, and the disciples who are expecting this big movement to happen are becoming impatient, and they're getting discouraged, really, because what they expect to see is not happening. Jesus isn't doing exactly what they expected him to do, and sensing this kind of discouragement and impatience in his disciples, Jesus teaches about what he really intends to do and how the kingdom of God really works in the life of somebody who follows him. And so in Mark chapter 4, verse 30, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, explaining the kingdom of God, explaining how he wants it to work in their lives and the lives of people he's connecting with. And Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? So real quick, just so you know, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, when you see that in the gospel, Jesus is not talking about heaven. Okay, the kingdom of God is not someday after we die and there's, you know, streets of gold and angels playing harps on clouds. That is not what Jesus is talking about. When Jesus references the kingdom of God, he's talking about right now, where you are, your encounter and your experience in knowing God and his work and his movement in your life in this present moment. So Jesus, he's like, okay, guys, I can imagine it. I was like, I know he's got his ideas. Like, okay, guys, how should I explain this to you? How do I bring this down to kindergarten level? How do I explain the kingdom of God to you? Okay, and this is what Jesus said. He says, it's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. So Jesus is like, what should I do? What should I illustrate? And I see him just looking around. He's like, okay, you see that big bush over there? That it's like a big, gigantic, like, bush. It's just, and the disciples are like, okay, yeah, I see. He's like, okay, see, that thing's like one of the biggest things that grows in a garden. It's a mustard seed plant. But the seeds that grow off the mustard seed plant, he pulls one off and he says, you see this? It's tiny. And mustard seeds are just super, super small. They're like little peppercorns, just little teeny tinies. And Jesus pulls out, he says, that mustard seed plant, as big as it is in the garden, and for all the birds that make their nests in it, and the wildlife that finds refuge in it, and for all the seeds that huge plant produces, it starts from this tiny, tiny seed. And Jesus, when he's looking at the disciples, there's a couple things that he's using in this illustration that he wants them to understand about the kingdom of God. And this is really what he wants them to understand about how God works in our lives and how we can be closer to him, how we can know him more, and how we can experience God in the way that he wants us to experience him. So the two things are this. The first is that thing that Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is designed to grow. God's work in your life right now, here where you are, it is designed to grow. It's made to grow. God created it that way. It's supposed to grow. It's supposed to start small, but God's work in you is supposed to grow and continue. You're supposed to be transformed and changed more and more. And what that means is this, is that for us, our responsibility as followers of Jesus, or people who just want to have be more moral, have a better spiritual life, be closer to God, is this. If the kingdom of God's designed to grow in our life, all we have to do is put ourselves in the environment and conditions that make us grow. Because what do you do with the seed? I remember when I was in elementary school, we got a soybean like every year, and we got a little styrofoam cup, and we put our soybean in some dirt, and then we'd water it every day, and we'd sit it on the windowsill, and then eventually, you know, the little soybean thing would pop up, and we'd feel like, wow, we're farmers, we're incredible. But all we did is we took a seed that is designed to grow, because that's what seeds are. It's a little packet of you know, plant DNA that is designed to grow, and we put it in the right conditions. We put it in sunlight, we put it in dirt, there's the nutrients, and we watered it. And so all we need to do, knowing that the kingdom of God is designed to grow in our lives, is position ourselves where we are in an environment and in a condition where the kingdom of God can grow in us. So that's the first thing Jesus wants his disciples to know. The kingdom of God will and should grow in your life. But the second thing Jesus points out to them is this, is that the kingdom of God starts small. It starts small. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I have been driven to God. Sometimes it's when things are going really bad. Maybe it's that first time where you feel drawn to the presence of God and you want something to change in your life so desperately. And like, what do we want? We want that burning bush. We want that lightning bolt to come down and like poof, just zap you right in the head. And it's like, it was God. I want to be praying and I want to be levitated off the ground. And I'm like, oh, what am I doing? And I'm spinning. Like, that's what I want. I want that magical, mystical, incredible moment that like you look back on and go, it was the biggest thing that ever happened to me in my life. However, that's not how God works. I want what the disciples want. I want that moment where Jesus is speaking to 10,000 people and his voice is just going out and he just says, you know, some amazing thing and the crowd just falls down like just a wave, just, and they just collapse to the ground because of the power of Jesus' words. But that's not how it works. The way Jesus works is he pulls a couple of people off aside and he says, hey, let's go hang out over here away from the crowds. So think about this. I don't know if you knew this. The largest living organism, I just discovered this is super interesting. The largest living organism in the world is a redwood, a sequoia tree. Now, the sequoia tree, it's a single stem plant. There are other trees that grow multiple stems that are larger, but in the plant world, the single stem plant is a single organism. The largest organism in the world is a sequoia tree. I got a picture of one. Bring these pictures up here, guys, to show you how the sequoia trees really look. They are massive. And like these things can grow, they can grow to 300 feet tall, and they can grow to like 23 meters in diameter. You can see these kids just trying to hug it. You know, that's awesome. Look at this dude over here. He's like, hey guys. He's probably 7 feet tall. You know, you never know. But these things, they are massive. What's cool about sequoia trees is this, is that it takes 500 to 750 years for a sequoia tree to reach its full size. 500 to 750 years. They are massive. The oldest sequoia tree known that people are aware of is 3,500 years old. You go Google this thing, you'll find pictures of people who have cut tunnels in the middle of a tree so that they can drive a car through it. They are massive. But the coolest thing about a sequoia tree, the coolest thing about the largest organism in the world, this is the largest living organism in the world, is this, that the sequoia tree comes from a seed that is 3 millimeters wide. Bring this picture up. This is a sequoia seed on the end of somebody's finger. The largest living organism in the world starts with that. Bring the next picture up. Just it shows some more sequoia seeds, just kind of the size. 3 millimeters wide, and they can grow into a tree that's 300 feet tall and 30 meters around. Now, I imagine that if Jesus were teaching his disciples in the Pacific Northwest instead of in Israel, he wouldn't have pointed to the largest plant in the garden that he was at, but he would have pointed to the gigantic tree that was right behind him. And he said, you see this sequoia tree? This is what the kingdom of God is like. It grows into the biggest thing that you could ever possibly imagine. It grows into something that would take you days to climb to the top of. It grows into something that's unimaginably big, but it starts with a seed that can fit on the end of your fingertip. And the thing is that for us spiritually, Jesus is saying this for a specific reason. He wants us to know this, that the kingdom of God is designed to grow, but that it starts small, because sometimes small adjustments are all that it takes to see big changes happen in your life. Zechariah 4:10 says this is in the Bible. It says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Man, we want to see results. Man, when I go on a diet at the beginning of the year, I want to drop 5 pounds in 3 days. You know, I want it gone. When I start lifting weights, I want to be able to pop these guns in the mirror and see my shirt rip, like in the first week. I don't want to be laying in bed going, ow, it hurts. I want my muscles to be big. But that's not how it works. That's not how it happens. And God says this spiritually, it's the same. It's the same spiritually. Don't get discouraged. Don't be let down because you aren't seeing spiritual results happening as fast in the new year as you want them to. Don't be discouraged if you don't have a big lightning bolt moment that happens in your life when you want to see your life transformed and turn around spiritually in 2017. Why? Because the kingdom of God starts small. It starts with small changes. It starts with small adjustments. That's how God designed it. That's how it's supposed to work. We don't have to become impatient and discouraged the way the disciples were when they weren't seeing the results happen from Jesus's ministry that they expected and that they wanted to see. We can trust this, that with God, small adjustments can make big change in our lives. So in 2017, you know, you want to be a better person. You want to live a more moral life. You want to be more spiritually fulfilled. You want to know God more and feel him and know that he's real. You want to know his word more. You want to experience and encounter him more. You want to take a next step in your journey and your relationship with him and know that you're stronger and more faithful. We're not talking about jumping off a cliff. We're talking about a small change, a small adjustment. And in 2017, if you are willing to make those small adjustments and if you're willing to make those small changes, God can do something amazing in your life. Your life doesn't have to be a broken closet door that's leaned up against the wall for year after year and you look at it and you just go, I don't know how to fix this life. I don't think I can do this. I think an expert's gotta come in here and do this. That's just too much. It doesn't have to be that because sometimes God can come into your life with just a screwdriver and he can just go, ring, ring, and then you're on the right track. So here's what we're doing. We're starting off a brand new message series called Think Small. We believe this. We believe that small adjustments and small changes to your life can have big benefits because that's the kingdom of God. That's how Jesus described it. It's how it's supposed to work in our lives. It starts small and then it grows. So because we believe that, over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about some of those little adjustments that we can begin making in our lives, small changes that you can do so that you can experience the spiritual change that you want to have happen in 2017. It's not too big a job. It's not too scary a project. You can do this and God can do it through you. And it's the small adjustments and it's the small changes that can happen in your life. If you want all of that to happen, all you have to do is say, yes, I'm willing to make those changes and I'm willing to do those things. So I'm not going to tell you how to do those things today because we're going to do that over the next several weeks. We're going to lay out the steps and the plan and the things that you can do to see God move in your life. But here's the thing. It starts right now. It starts by looking at your big spiritual dream and your big spiritual goal and realizing that it is within grasp because it's a step and then it's another step and then it's another step. God's plan for you in 2017 is to know him and experience him more than you did in 2016. And you know what? Like, one of the reasons I love the new year, and I hope you're like me in this. One of the reasons that I love it when the new year comes around is this. Is because I can just feel God saying, I've got more for you. Can you feel that? Can you hear God just saying, I've got more for you in 2017. I don't want you to live a 2016 life. I don't want you to live how you lived in 2015 because I have more for you. And every time a new year comes around, it's just like it's like everything turning green in the spring, or it's like the first time the snow falls. It's the season changing and God saying, I've got more for you this year. I've got better for you this year. You can live the best life you could ever possibly live, and it can start now. Can you feel that? Can you hear that? And it can start now, but it just starts with us saying, okay, God, I'm in. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to get scared, and I'm not going to get overwhelmed. I'm willing to take these small steps. I'm willing to make the small adjustments and the small changes because this is the year. This is the year, God, that I'm going to know you better than I've ever known you before. This is the year that I'm going to say beyond a shadow of a doubt that I confirmed that God is real. I'm confirming the fact in 2017 that God is real, or that I can feel God, or that God is moving in my life. Or 2017 is the year that I first was able to crack open the Bible and say, yeah, God spoke to me. This is the year that it can happen. And this is the year that it will happen for you if you just say yes. Because sometimes small adjustments are all you need to see big change happen in your life. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fresh start that you give us. And Jesus, I thank you that because of your death on the cross and your resurrection, God, that you gave us a clean slate in order to live a new life, Lord, to be set free from our sin, God, to be set free from the bondage of everything that held us back and our brokenness. And Lord, that you opened up a new life for us to walk into. It was just a new beginning. And I thank you, God, that every time a new year comes around, Lord, it's like a new beginning happening over and over and over again. And so I pray for every single person in this room. I know this, God, that you are speaking to hearts and you are speaking to minds, and that your message to us is this: you can have more in 2017. You can know me more. You can experience me more. I can lead you more. I can reveal myself to you more in 2017. I can be real to you in your life if you will make these small adjustments. So Lord, I pray that as we uncover these things over the next several weeks, that you'd prepare our hearts. And God, I pray that our hearts would be the soil where you can plant that small seed of your kingdom of God. I pray that our hearts would have the environment and the conditions where that seed of your kingdom can grow. And I pray that 2017 would be the year that none of us would ever look back on, God, because it's the best year that we ever lived in your spirit and in your presence. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for all of this, and we pray it all in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compasspn.com.